I want to say good afternoon to everyone and want to thank you again for joining us for our worship service on this afternoon. I want to thank all those that participated on this afternoon, those that led us in prayers, read scripture, and led us through the other parts of service. Our worship service that we find in Acts 2:42 and verse 47, whenever we assemble to worship God, these five acts of devotion that we show to the Lord, that being teaching the Word of God, also our giving to the Lord that which He has blessed us with, our communing with the Lord, and reminding ourselves of what the Lord did for us on that cross in Calvary, and also our prayers that we offer to our God. And then our singing. Thank our brother for leading us in our singing on this afternoon. And as we concluded, oh, victory in Jesus. And that's what we talked about on this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Paul talked about that victory that he referred to as a crown of righteousness. And we said on this morning that that crown was a symbol of the victory that we had after we have won the contest of life using the Word of God in our lives to overcome those challenges that we all face and that we want to, as Paul said, he had fought a good fight and he had finished his course or his race in life. He knew his life would end shortly. If history holds correctly, at the hands of Nero, and he would be lose his life at that time. And Paul said that he had knew that he had a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge, talking about the Lord, he said would give him at that day. And we also said that Paul reminded us and encouraged us that he said, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So on this afternoon, looking at the thought of the crown that we can receive after using the Word of God and applying it to our lives and doing the best to our ability to serve the Lord in this life, we want to look now at the one we talk about on this afternoon. Again, thank our brother for reading our scripture. We want to talk about a crown on this afternoon, but from our subject this afternoon, taken from verse number 5, where the Bible talks about then came forth Jesus. So Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns. So I want us to look this afternoon at the fact that we can receive a crown figuratively. However, Jesus wore a crown. And John wrote about that in John chapter 19. So we want to speak again this afternoon from the subject. Then came forth Jesus wearing the crown of thorns. The Bible records in John chapter 19, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And so that verse in and of itself for the Christian should remind us of the great sacrificial event that the Lord did for us, because scourging was the Romans' method. They would take a person and they would strip him and they would tie him in a bending position to a pillar. And then the scourger but have a whip that was made of leather thongs. And it says that that whip was weighted with sharp pieces of bone, lead. And so each time that person would wrap that whip around a person's bare body and then pull back on that whip, those bones and lead fragments would dig in to a person's skin. And when he pulled the whip back, it would rip the skin, flesh, off of this person. So what Pilate did, he took Jesus and he had him scourged. The Bible says, I want us to hopefully see that this crown that we spoke about this morning, that Paul said was laid up for him, did not come without the ultimate sacrifice. The Bible says in verse number 2, and the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. These soldiers will laugh with enjoyment as they made fun of and ridiculed Jesus. They put a crown on his head, but it was a crown made of thorns that were cut into his head. And then they would put a purple robe on him, basically saying, you are the king. And notice he said in verse number 3, and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands, or they slapped him with their hands. These men, these same men, would one day again recognize him as king before the judgment. Yeah. These same soldiers that would do this to our Lord. The Bible teaches us when Paul wrote to the Romans, he said in Romans 14, in verse number 11, for it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. They would have to give an account to God for their actions on this day, if not repented of and washed away in water baptism. These individuals, they live to the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, will give an account to God for their actions. The Bible says in verse number 4 that was read in our hearing, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Now, notice this. In John 18 and verse 38, this wasn't the first time he said, I find no fault in him. This was the second time. Because after questioning Jesus in John 18 and verse 38, the Bible records, Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. And so we see, when you get to John 19, Pilate had Jesus beaten. Even though he admits that Jesus was guilty of no crime. However, he gave the order to have Jesus beaten possibly to unconsciousness. So oftentimes, history records that when a person was beaten to that level, that they would oftentimes pass out and possibly even die from the beating. And when Paul talked about the beatings that he had taken. And so here we have a man, Pilate, who gave the order to have him scourged, even though he knew this man. He said it for the second time in verse number 4. I find no fault in him. And then verse 5 is where we take our scriptural text on this afternoon. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold, the man. Jesus was wearing that crown, thorns that they had woven together, thorns, and placed on his head in mockery and shame and humiliation, humiliating him. When Pilate shared with them, I find no fault in this man. However, Jesus, we need to remember, went to the cross for the faults that we had done. That's why the Roman letter shares with us when Paul, in his letter to the Romans, reminded all of them that we need to remember, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way, that's Romans 3:24. And then in verse 25, Paul writes to them the process, procedure by which we can become free of our guilt, sin, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul reminded them that we became justified by the grace that God showed toward all of us and allowing us to be redeemed from our sins through Christ Jesus. That Paul wrote in verse 25 of Romans 3, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Paul wrote to them to remind them that what God did, God set forth a plan that Jesus, what the word propitiation means, Jesus will be our substitute. He says, through faith in his blood that he shed, that we all might be declared righteous for the remission of our sins that are past, and it's through the forbearance of God. So Jesus, who was not guilty, we were the guilty party. And that's why it's so important, as we did on this morning, to teach those so they can see what Jesus did for them in their lives and how they can become children of God by hearing that gospel, believing the gospel. Those three factors: Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose again the third day. After believing that, repenting of their sins or turning to God, confessing what they have been taught to believe in their heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then concluding that obedience in water baptism, and the Lord then adds those to the church of Christ. And so Pilate brought Jesus forth to the crowd, knowing beforehand how they felt about Christ, possibly hoping that if I scourge him and beat him, they would relinquish their desire to have him killed. However, when he said, "Behold the man," the chief priest, therefore, verse number 6, an officer saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Three times Pilate acknowledged, "I find nothing guilty in this man." The Jews answered him, verse 7, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." The Jews believed that this was false in him saying that he was the Son of God. However, it was a true statement because Jesus made it himself. In Luke chapter number 22, beginning at verse number 66. The Bible says, or reads, "And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Yea, say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Jesus did make the statement, He was the Son of God. However, they didn't believe him. And so Pilate said to them in verse number 8, When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. He asked Jesus, because he was afraid, Where are you from? And Jesus didn't answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? See, Pilate knew. The reason fear was there, Pilate may have been influenced by the message from his wife that may have increased his fear. In Matthew chapter 27, and the verse is number 15, the Bible records, Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have not thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He said it three times. His wife even shared with him that this man is just. And so Pilate wanted to release him. And he thought, He had the power to crucify Jesus and had the power to release him. But Jesus' response in verse number 11, the Bible said, Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it was given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." You know, the Bible teaches us human government exists at the will of and by the power of God himself. You know, back in the Old Testament, in Daniel's writing, in Daniel chapter 5, one thing we want to remember, where, as I close, in Daniel 5, and beginning at verse number 17, the Bible said, Daniel answered the king and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages tremble and fear before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, be kept alive. Whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. He said, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." So he realized that God was the one that set men in places and allowed men to serve. And so we have to realize, as Jesus told Pilate, that any government, and I want to say this, anyone in leadership is accountable, whether it be in the home, in the school, and most certainly in the church. Leadership is accountable. Why? Because God is the one that allows for those to be in leadership. And so, as we reflect back to the sermon this morning and this afternoon concerning Jesus, Jesus suffered and died wearing the crown of thorns, that those who learn and live faithful to those teachings in the scriptures might have the hope of a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day. I've already shared with you how one of you on the call, how one become a Christian. You hear the gospel, you believe it, you repent of your sin, you confess Christ, be water baptized for remission of sin, and the Lord would add you to the church. Is anyone on the call that's been invited to the call, have them get in touch with us. We can make it happen that you can be added to the Lord. I thank you this afternoon for your listening ear as we talked about our Christ wearing the thorn of crowns on our behalf. Thank you very much.